I want to share a word with you that that God has put on my heart. And I every week I spend time trying to pray into, God, what are you saying right now? Not something you said a while ago. What are you saying right now? What is it we need to hear right now? What is it you need to hear right now? And I believe that God's given me a word to share with you. I want to read out of a passage, and I'm going to be moving along kind of expeditiously here. I've got like 38% on this computer, and so I need to get this message in before the battery goes dead. Glory to God. Ezekiel 37, in Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10, it's a familiar passage of scripture where it's talking about the valley of dry bones, valley of dry bones. Pastor Nina, I appreciate you looking. There is no cord in there. And yes, and so God's going to supernaturally cause this thing just to keep its power. Amen. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 through 10. It reads like this. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I answered, 'O Lord, you know.' Again he said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones.'" Give me one second here. I need to turn off my email. "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these dry bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. And I will put sinews on you, make flesh to grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive. And you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, the sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army." So I want to talk to you for the next few moments or so from this thought: the convergence and emergence of ecclesia, the army of God. The convergence and emergence of ecclesia, the army of God. One of the individuals I just met recently, Tim, he's here. He shared a document with me that shared a couple of passages of scripture. In the passages, the individual that was sharing this thought shared something that I had never noticed before, but it makes sense as to where we are as the church right now, as the body of Christ. And it has to do with Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Mark 16, 15 through 20. So often we read passages of scripture, and the Bible says that for us not to be dull of hearing. Dull of hearing is when you hear something and your thought is, I've already heard that before. So you kind of tune out, you go somewhere else in your thoughts, because what's being read, you already know it, or you think you already know it. One of the things about the Word of God, it's life. It's alive, and it produces life. And you can take one passage of Scripture and read it over and over and over and get something different out of it every time. And so while these are familiar passages of Scripture, I want to bring out a thought in them And then I want to share with you what I believe God is saying right now for the body of Christ. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says this, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority hath been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples.'" Say, make disciples. "Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Then in Mark 16, we read there, 15 through 20, and it says this, "And he," Jesus, "said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned.' He goes on and says, 'These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.'" I like that. Let me say that again. "They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Now, I just want to emphasize that because it's kind of hard to lay hands on the sick when you're socially distanced. I don't know how that's supposed to work, but God's going to help us with that because people still need a touch every now and then. Amen. "He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them," excuse me, "and confirmed the word with signs that followed." So out of these two passages of scripture, there's really two different focuses, both equally important, and both should be in tandem in terms of happening for the church, the body of Christ. In Matthew, the focus is on equipping and raising up believers. It's kingdom-minded. Say kingdom-minded. Come on, say it again, kingdom-minded. But in Mark 16, it's about reaching and saving the lost. It's church-minded. Say church-minded. So you've got kingdom-minded and you've got church-minded. Both of them are equally important because we need to see individuals saved, born again. At the same time, we need them to be equipped. We need them to be raised up as believers, maturing. It says if God says, "I will save them," you raise them up. You train them. So in Ephesians 4 is where we see what we call the fivefold ministry: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. Gifts given to the body for the perfecting. Say perfecting. Perfecting. Come on, I need y'all just to shout just a little bit. The message will go faster if y'all get engaged with me, okay? For the perfecting. Say maturing. Maturing. For the maturing of the saints. As a matter of fact, we are supposed to be teaching them, training them, activating them, equipping them, and releasing them. That's what's supposed to be happening. So you see this kind of two-pronged approach to the kingdom coming to fruition. Yes, there is the reaching and the saving the lost, but then secondly, there's the equipping and the raising up of believers. Some years ago, I wrote a song called "Training for Reigning." It says, "God is preparing his people for their greatest hour. We will arise in his glory and the greatness of his power. Know the tests that you face and the storms that you're in are only to make you strong. We are in training for reigning with Christ. We are the heirs of salvation and joint heirs with God's only son," or his firstborn son. "Lifting the sword of the Spirit, the enemy's now on the run. So we must not give up and we sure won't give in, for we know that we've already won. We are in training for reigning with Christ." Everything that you and I are dealing with, God is allowing it in order to mature us and to move us into places of confidence in him. I believe that one of the things that we have missed, have not done well, is helping every believer recognize that they have a kingdom assignment, also helping them to recognize they are part of God's great army, also helping them to recognize that their assignment very often is not in the four walls of the church, but it's in the world at large. That's kingdom expansion. We are in training for reigning with Christ. Every believer is called to reign. Every believer is called to reign. The scripture says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That should help us with perspective. So we don't see necessarily on the same plane that the world sees on. We see it from a different plane. We see it from a broader perspective, a greater expanse. One of the things that I believe we are about to experience is it comes from a book that Dr. Bill Hammond, Christian International, wrote called Day of the Saints. Day of the Saints. In his book, the premise of the book is simply this. We went through the error of the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists and the establishing of the prophetic or the prophet and then the apostle. Coming into the knowledge and the further acceptance of those offices should have created an awareness to help us begin to grow up as those gifts are drawn on. That brings us to the Day of the Saints. Well, Dr. Bill Hammond in his book is saying that now the day is here where every believer is operating, understanding that they are called. Not just a few that are called and everybody else has to work somewhere in a secular job, but all of us are called. Everyone has an assignment, the Day of the Saints. The power of God manifested in the earth to the degree that God himself has purpose for it to be manifested will not come from those who have titles. I'm just going to say amen myself right there. It's going to come from the believer who understands that they are called. Lord, you have saved us and you have called us with a holy calling that's not of ourselves. 2020, here at Ayers, 2020, our theme was seeing and believing. 2020 has truly been a year to see. In the natural as well as in the spirit. As a matter of fact, much of what we see in the natural is the physical manifestation of what's happening in the spirit realm right now. What it has produced or what it has done for us is it's moved us into a season that is revealing or revealed that we are focused, I'm talking about the church now, that we the church, have focused more on building churches, organizations, than we have focused on building the eternal church, the ecclesia, meaning this, the body of Christ. Because one of the things that I believe this season has produced is an opportunity to see where one really lives. For the believer, I believe that crisis, hear me now, I believe that crisis creates the opportunity to see where one really lives. Because we can memorize scriptures, we can quote scriptures, but when life comes, when life hits, and I'm one to say I choose not to live life on life's terms, I won't do it. I will live my life on God's terms and based on his word. And everything in life that's happening, you have to live in a place where you can believe that the word of God is more powerful than that which is happening in your life. So when even a prophetic word comes to you that doesn't match your situation, don't cast that word away. Receive that word and believe that your situation is going to shape itself to the word of God that has come to you. I believe that crisis creates the opportunity to see where one really lives, what one really believes, and who and what they put their trust in. I believe when those times come, it's not to shame you, but to mature you. It's to mature us. God has a way of allowing us to see ourselves in order for us then to be able to accept what he sees, submit ourselves to his processes, and then see the change in our lives. For anyone to grow, they must first identify and acknowledge where they are. For any of us to grow, we must first identify and acknowledge where we are. That's why, listen, you can only fake it so long. And living in that space is not a good one. And unfortunately, we have not done well in the church to help people be okay with being themselves. And so right now, even now in the body of Christ, we have believers who are wearing masks. And I'm not talking about the mask because of the virus. I'm talking about just the mask. But people are recognizing, I can't live like this any longer. For anyone to grow, they must first identify and acknowledge where they are. Only then can you start, have a starting place and something to build on. It's kind of like that GPS when you're going on a trip and you want to get the coordinates. Before you can put in where you're going, you have to be willing to acknowledge where you are. So a lot of times you have to put in where you are, or depending on the navigational system you're using, it'll ask you, can it use your current location? And then what it does is, then it calculates. And usually, right about now, the way that these things work, they give you about two or three options of how to get to your destination. But you have to be willing to acknowledge where you are right now. When God looks at his church, he sees the whole church. He sees the whole body. At the same time, he also sees churches. And he is addressing them accordingly, according to their deeds. You see, when you and I come into his eternal presence, when it's all said and done, when time is all wrapped up, and we are with God throughout eternity, there's not going to be a Baptist section in heaven. There's not going to be a Presbyterian section in heaven. There's not going to be a Lutheran section. There's not going to be a Methodist section. There's not going to be a Presbyterian. There's not going to be any of that there. So when God looks at his church, he understands what we have devised, but he also knows what he meant. In the book of Revelation, the Lord speaks of seven churches. It's interesting because right now, over the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so, maybe a little longer, there's been the concept of the seven mountains. More recently, circles that I'm relating to, we call them the seven spheres of cultural influence. So instead of seven separate mountains, it's the spheres of cultural influence. Those have to do with government and finance and family and education, arts and entertainment, the church, and I think there may be one more in there. The body of Christ is supposed to be impacting every one of those areas. The kingdom of God is supposed to be prevalent, manifested in every one of those areas. It's in the book of Revelation that God is looking at his church. He's looking at his church, and he's looking at the churches. And I believe that where we are right now, God is saying, I'm going to help you to see you. I'm going to help my body see itself. I'm going to help the church see where it is. And I want to tell you that with the exception of two churches, the underlining theme for everyone was you need to repent. Only two churches, he didn't tell them to repent. In Revelations 2, 1 through 7, the church of Ephesus, he starts out by saying to them, you have been persevering, you have been enduring, you're not tolerating evil, but you've left your first love. He says, you must repent and return to your first love. I believe all of these are examples of the modern day church and churches. In Revelations 2, 8 through 11, the church of Smyrna, it says you suffered persecution, poverty, under great testing. His word to them was, but remain faithful. You remain faithful. At the end of every letter, he said the same thing to every church. Let him who has an ear to hear, hear the Spirit of the Lord. I'm telling you right now that in the midst of everything that's going on, God is speaking. God is speaking. God is speaking. He is still speaking, even now, in the midst of everything. few months ago, about a month ago, God spoke, gave me a song. Play a D flat for me. Can you just play a D flat chord real quick? I know you're multitasking, but that's what is that a D flat? Turn it up a little bit so I can hear it. Yeah. Now I'm talking about, we got to hear because he's speaking. So we started singing this song. Some of you guys been here since we've been singing it. I still see you high and lifted up above the earth. And I still hear your voice above the noise, loud and clear. And I still know your kingdom reigns. You reign, you still reign. In majesty, you still reign. In authority, your power and your might are greater than the fight we are in. You still reign. He says to the church of Smyrna, you're under persecution. You're dealing with poverty, great testing. He says, but remain faithful and I will come and get you. That's what he says to them. In Revelation 2, 12 through 17, the church of Pergamum, they were teaching false teaching, causing the people to stumble. Revelation 2, 18 through 29, the church of Thyatira, they were tolerating Jezebel. They were tolerating Jezebel. Moved them into idolatry. Jezebel. While the scriptures speak of Jezebel as a woman, that spirit is not a gender specific. I want to be clear about that. What it's talking about here is a spirit of control, a spirit of manipulation, even witchcraft. Revelations 3, 1 through 6, the church of Sardis. They boasted of being alive and vibrant, but they were dead. So much of what we are trying to offer up to God right now is not what he ever intended. Unfortunately, we have that spirit of control and manipulation that's operating in the body of Christ, in churches and in organizations. Somehow we have bought, been sold the thought that if you just get the right things on the platform, your church will be alive, your church will thrive. So if you can get the right lighting, if you can get the right banners, if you can get the right fog machines, if you can get the right songs, the popular songs that everybody is singing and offer that up. They boasted of being alive and vibrant, but they were dead. Because you see, hear me when I tell you this, nothing, absolutely nothing can produce God's presence other than pure worship. We can have the greatest of musicians. We can have the greatest of talent. We can have the greatest of preaching and teaching. We can have a beautiful sanctuary. But none of that means anything without the presence of God. And the Spirit of God was saying, you boast of being alive and vibrant, but you were dead. Revelation 3, 7 through 13, the church of Philadelphia. They were not a major church, meaning they were not a major city, meaning they were not large. But they kept God's word and they persevered. They are the second church and the one of only two churches that God didn't say, repent. And lastly, there's Revelation 14 through 21, Revelation 3, 14 through 21, the church of Laodicea. A lot of people think about that one. Remember that one. Because they were a church that had riches and they had wealth, but they were poor in spirit. And the Spirit of God spoke to them and said, I'd rather you be hot or cold than to be lukewarm, because I will spew you out of my mouth. They had riches, they had wealth, but it's not all about money. Yes, does it take money to do what we do? It does. But it's not all about money. It's not about wealth. It's about the passionate pursuit of God that causes our spirit man to be healthy. Because if your spirit man is healthy, then you will be healthy. I believe that we are in this hour now where there is the convergence and the emergence of ecclesia. I believe God is allowing us to see, because he himself is about to breathe. Yeah, about to breathe on his church. I believe right now that there is a stirring in the spirit. There's a clarion call in the spirit. There is a stirring where God is saying, gather to me the godly ones, those that have made a covenant with me, my sacrifice, Psalms 50 and verse 5. When it says that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, it's not talking about just tithes and offerings. It's talking about laying down their very lives. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's talking about that kind of laying down of our lives. It's talking about when Paul writes and says, though troubled on every side, we are not distressed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. That's what he's talking about. Gather to me the godly ones, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. There are those in the body of Christ who sense God drawing them into a deeper place of relationship with him, and others in the body of Christ. They have a hunger for his presence and a passion to see the power and authority of the kingdom of God manifested in miracles, signs, and wonders. They are recognizing, they are willing to acknowledge that the church as we have known it is passing away, but there is the emergence of a church within the church, the true ecclesia, and they are coming forth as the army of God. They are coming forth as the army of God. We are coming into the emergence and the convergence of ecclesia, the army of God. And lastly, I want to say this as I end out. Boot camp is over. Boot camp is over. And we are being called to the front lines. God would that we would help one another come into the places of maturity. Hear me, that are yours by right because of what you have suffered through. Amen. That would cause you to stand in a place and recognize the stripes on my back have now become stripes on my shoulders. And I have a power and authority operating in my life. It's something that you have to draw on. It's something that you have to acknowledge. But once you acknowledge it, then everything begins to shift into place, because in the spirit realm, they recognize the authority that you walk in. You ever see, I've only seen it in the movies, but you ever see when military individuals are in a room and a general comes in, one of authority comes in, what's the first thing they do? If they're sitting down, they jump up. And they stay like that until that leader in authority says, at ease. And then everybody goes back to what they were doing. Hear me when I say this prophetically. The hour is now here where God is calling those who have made a covenant with him by sacrifice. I'm not talking about those that we see all over the place where we see in terms of this celebrated status. No, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you that you think nobody knows about you. I'm talking about the you that has given your life to the Lord, stayed with the Lord, stayed faithful with the Lord. You're a part of that army. You're a part of those that are now converging. You're a part of those that are now coming to the forefront. You're a part of those that are now emerging. And that stirring on the inside of you, that's the Holy Spirit saying, boot camp is over. That's the Holy Spirit saying, rise up, attention. It's time now. It's time. The ranks are coming together. The believers are coming together. They're coming from the north, the south, the east, the west. They're coming together. They're finding one another. They're recognizing when they open their mouths and begin to talk. What you just said, I felt it inside of me years ago. Now I'm finding my tribe. Now I'm finding those of the same DNA. Boot camp is over, and we're being called to the front lines. He is raising up a mighty army. Years ago, I wrote a chorus that said, I see an army marching across the land, all dressed for battle. No enemy can stand. They have the sound of victory. They are the army of the Lord. That's us. That's you. That's me. And I say to you again, everything in your life up to this point has prepared you for this moment. Everything that's happened to you, everything that God has done for you has been to prepare you for this moment. And so now my encouragement is, that as you end out this year, that you end out in a place of confidence. End out in a place of confidence that what God has purposed to do, not is he going to do it, he's doing it right now. I want to encourage you to end out this year letting go of everything and anything that you believed for that didn't happen. Don't allow yourself to become discouraged. Keep your expectation high. Keep your expectation in God and recognize, while it may seem like there's some dead areas in your life, know this, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of God is about to breathe on them and about to breathe on you. It's time to get up, church. It's time to arise, shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. This is our greatest hour. He's calling us out of the obscure places. He is assembling an army of faith and power. He's not looking for the popular. He's calling the predestined. And so I call you forth right now in the name of Jesus. I call you forth in the name of Jesus. I stir up that gift on the inside of you. That stirring on the inside of you that's telling you it's not over. You may have been dealing with a physical condition in your body. It's not over. You may be in the most challenging place you've ever been in financially. It's not over. You may be in the most challenging place you've ever been in relationally. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. I declare to you that just as those dry bones look like they would never live again. He told the man of God, speak to the bones. I'm speaking to you right now. And I'm speaking life to you. I'm speaking strength to you. Rise up. Raise your head up. No shame, no condemnation. And just as he spoke to the seven churches, repent, which means to change, and steady yourself for the future that God has for you. Ah, Jesus.